Father God, please help me now to speak faithfully from your word, not to add to it, not to take away. And Father, I pray that you would help us all of us to listen, and that our minds and our hearts will be open to be changed by what is in this passage tonight. We ask this in your name. Amen. Well, I remember the day that my daughter Chloe was born very well. It's great news to hear of Eileen's grandchild. I remember the day Chloe was born. It was a day like any other day, just a normal day. And the bodybuilders group had met up. That's the sort of 10s to 14s group. And we'd finished the games. We were getting ready to eat. And then it happened. I got the phone call. It was all happening. The big event was underway. So how did I react? How did I react at that point? Well, I have to say at that moment there was a sudden rush of adrenaline, definitely. But there was no fear in me. What I mean by that is that there was certainly some nervous excitement there, definitely. But there was no dread or terror. It wasn't that. And the reason for that is not because I have any medical training whatsoever. It's nothing to do with that, nor am I, you know, particularly brave. It's not that either. But simply, I was finally going to meet this person that I've been waiting for. I've been waiting to meet this person for a long time, and I was ready for them. It was nothing to be scared of because I had all the information I needed, namely I was going to have a baby, I knew that much, and I knew the general direction to point the car in to get to the hospital. So I didn't need to worry. In fact, I could look forward to it. And in our passage tonight, Paul is saying a similar thing to the Thessalonians. He's saying that Jesus is certain but unexpected return, it holds no fear for the Christian. So Jesus is certain, but unexpected return holds no fear for the Christian. He says, yes, it will be unexpected in one way. You don't know when it's going to happen, but you know everything you need to know about it. You're on the right side, so don't worry. So our first point is this, that Jesus' return is certain, it is absolutely certain. So it's not unexpected in that way. It is absolutely certain, but we don't know when. That's the first point. Jesus' return is certain, but we don't know when he's coming back. So in the first section, Paul explains that Jesus' return, it is completely certain, but no one knows the date or the time that will be. And if you were here last week, then you would have heard something about the situation that the Thessalonians were in. Paul was writing to encourage a very young church in Thessalonica. He was only with them a short time. It was probably a matter of weeks. And you can read about that if you want to. You can read that story afterwards. It's Acts chapter 17, verses 1 to 10, if you're making notes. But he was there, he's preaching the gospel, before severe opposition forced him to move away. In that time that Paul was there, many had responded and they'd put their faith in Jesus Christ. And of course, the teaching about Jesus returning at a final judgment would have been really important. It would have been an important part of Paul's teaching. But maybe due to Paul's time being cut short, there were a few misunderstandings in the church about Jesus' second coming. So last week we saw Paul in this letter address the first question from the Thessalonians. What happens to Christians who have already died before Jesus returns? And if you haven't listened to, if you weren't here for that talk last week, Paul Carlin did it, it's online. Do listen to it. It's very helpful. What happens to Christians that have already died before Jesus returns? And in that we heard about the hope of life forever with the Lord after death for the believer. And we see that in chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, those verses just before what we've read tonight. But here, tonight, Paul addresses a second question that these young Christians have. Just when is it that Jesus will return? When is it going to happen? So have a look at verses 1 to 3, please. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labour pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. So Paul says there's no need to be concerned about the exact time of Jesus' return. There's no need to fuss about that, because you've already been taught everything you need to know about it. Paul hasn't left out vital information from his previous teaching. He isn't saying, oh, yeah, sorry, I really should have said that, shouldn't I? No, it isn't that. But what he does now is he takes the opportunity to sort of consolidate some of his prior teaching and really clarify what it is that they need to know about Jesus' return, and indeed not know about Jesus' return. And he uses two illustrations to draw out two different points. So the first illustration he uses is that of a thief. And this shows that Jesus' return will be unexpected. So I've said this before, there isn't a thief in the world that announces their plan to break into someone's house before they actually go and do it. I don't know of anyone that's sort of received a helpful phone call to say, you know, in the next couple of hours, I'm going to get in through your back door and steal all your stuff. It just doesn't happen. And in the same way, Jesus will not indicate his return prior to doing so, because it is in fact meant to be unexpected. It's meant to be unexpected, so that Christians are living in readiness all the time. When we were waiting for Chloe to be born, we had a rough idea of her birth date. You know, we had a ballpark sort of date. But of course, we understood that we couldn't be sure exactly when she was going to be born. So we were ready to meet her long before the actual birth date. It would be ridiculous to think that we could quickly react and make everything right in the moments of her arrival. Lizzie would be in no fit state, and it would be just too late. No, instead, Lizzie had been living a certain way in readiness for that time, and she'd been doing that for a long time before, you know, eating and drinking differently, and so on. And me making preparations with the house while I could, while there was still time, because we just couldn't be sure exactly when she'd arrive. Well, Jesus' return is going to be far more unexpected than the birth of any child. No one knows when Jesus is going to return except God himself. But the other thing to remember is that it is certain. It's unexpected. We don't know the date, but it is certain. And that's what the second illustration of a pregnant woman draws out. So again, if you're pregnant, then unfortunately labour pains, they are a certainty of a natural birth. You can't get away from that. So while people are saying peace and security, destruction will come on them suddenly. That's what it says. And this means that people will be going about their daily lives thinking that the next day is guaranteed. The world will continue to revolve. The sun will come up, and it will be just like yesterday. I mean, we've all heard the well-known saying, life goes on. Probably said it ourselves. I have. Life goes on. Well, here, the Bible says that that's not true, doesn't it? One day will be the last day, and it will happen suddenly, like labour pains, and no one will escape. It is absolutely certain. And it's worth pointing out that that kind of negative language of sudden destruction, it sounds quite scary. It's there as a warning for unbelievers, because this coming reality, this day, it's going to be very different for the Christian. They will not be caught out. Both Christians and non-Christians will share this last day. It isn't an exclusive event just for Christians. It's going to be something which is universal and public, an event that everybody will experience, and it will be a momentous event. Words cannot describe what that's going to be like. The end of what we know here as the world. And all people will finally see that Jesus is Lord. That's the thing. That's going to be amazing. Everybody, whether they're a Christian or not, everyone will know that Jesus is Lord. So what can we take from this bit? Well, certainly when we hear people claim that they have an idea of when the world will end, we know that they are not telling the truth. The Mayan calendar, fairly recently, that might be in people's minds, it said that the world would end in 2012. There was a big Hollywood film about it. And some people genuinely were quite troubled and scared by that. You only have to type into Google and you will see that the world is apparently meant to end most years. But here the Bible says it is in God's hands. Only he knows when he will do it, and he will do it his way, namely when Jesus returns. The world will not end through disease. It will not end through nuclear war. It will not end with a meteorite impact. Those things will not end the world. It will happen with God's hand. It won't happen by the power of man. It won't happen by the power of nature, but by the power of the one who is in charge of all those things. The believer, this is a great encouragement, the believer doesn't need to be crippled by fears of the world ending, because the Bible tells us that it will end when Jesus returns, and that's something for the believer to look forward to. But we can also say that when we hear the saying, life goes on, or we see that attitude displayed when people are investing everything they have in the here and now, we know that one day this will all come to an end. We don't know when. It could be tonight. It could be right now while I'm speaking. That would be pretty incredible, wouldn't it? It could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. It could be in 1,000 years. We don't know. And it's not a bad thing to work hard, earn money, and have a family and friends in the meantime. The Bible says that's a very good thing. But it isn't the most important thing. And if we're living as if it is, then there is a big problem. Because God wants to have his rightful place in our lives. He created us, and he wants us to know him. And one day, Jesus will return unexpectedly, and it is certain, whether we're ready for him or not. And that's the most important thing. Are we ready? For some, it will mean sudden destruction that they cannot escape from. That's really scary, but it doesn't have to be. Why? How can people be saved from this sudden destruction? Well, that brings us on to our second point, that Jesus' return holds no fear for the Christian. Jesus' return holds no fear for the Christian. Paul says that the Thessalonians he's talking to shouldn't worry about this final day, because they're prepared already. They're on the right side. Have a look at verses 4 and 5, please. But you, brothers, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. Paul says that for a believer, Jesus' return won't surprise them like a thief. And he illustrates this then using night and day, or darkness and light. And he says that a believer is of the day and of the light. This means that God has graciously revealed the gospel to the believer, to them, and they have believed it for themselves. Paul doesn't explain all the details of the gospel in this passage, but elsewhere he makes it clear that what that is that Jesus has died and endured punishment for the believer's sins on their behalf. Their sins have been paid for. We sung that tonight. The price has been paid. And they can be forgiven by God, and God now sees them as right with him. So the light here refers to a believer understanding and trusting in that, and being made clean by what God has done for them through Jesus. Now that means that a Christian is in a really privileged position. And that is not something that they can sit there and look proud about. Oh yes, I'm in a privileged position if I'm a Christian. No, because that is not something that they've earned on their own merit. Christians are so blessed to be able to enjoy the position of being right with God as they live now. And it means that it's something to live for now. It's way more important than anything the world can offer. And it's worth sticking with Jesus now, even when Christians are persecuted because of it. Now, in some countries, right now, they are being beheaded, killed for their beliefs. We don't experience anything like that. It is absolutely worth sticking with Jesus, even in the face of severe persecution. Nothing is more important than the wonderful privilege that a Christian has before God, being right with him. And I wonder whether we really believe that. Do we really show that in our own lives? I was just thinking this tonight before I came here. In the way that we pray, what do we pray for ourselves? What do we pray for others? What do we pray for children? I think about Reese and Chloe. What do I pray for them? A good education, growing up, being happy in the future. Wife, husband, of course I want all those things, but I have to say, those things are insignificant compared to Chloe and Reese trusting in Jesus as their saviour, enjoying that privileged position, knowing that the return of Jesus, they have nothing to fear because they are his. It's such a privilege because it isn't the position that an unbeliever is in. It isn't a position for an unbeliever. Here our passage says that an unbeliever is of the night and of the darkness. And that means that people are not living with Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, either because they've never spent the time to find out about the gospel and they've rejected it. They're quite happy living in their own way. Thank you very much. I'll live my life my way. Or maybe they've actually heard the gospel and they have fully rejected it as a load of rubbish. Well, Jesus' return will mean very different things for these two groups, night and day. Think about this. When it talks about a thief is not welcome. A thief is an enemy. So for anyone in darkness, verse 4 says that Jesus' return will literally be like a thief, an enemy, breaking into your world and bringing it to an end. The final day for a non-Christian brings a judgment from the Lord that no one can escape from. It doesn't matter if you believe in Jesus or not. It doesn't matter if you oppose him. You can't stop him. And this final day will not be postponed. There are no more chances. That is a terrifying thought. But he says that the Thessalonians, as believers, are not in that group. For them, this day will not surprise them like a thief, because they do not belong to the darkness. They belong to the light. They belong to Jesus. They trust him as their Lord and Saviour. They know the person that it is that they're going to meet on that final day. When Chloe was eventually born, I was finally able to meet the person I'd been waiting for all that time. And it was a time for celebration, because we were really ready to meet her. Well, the celebration will be even greater when the believer finally meets their Lord Jesus on that final day, Jesus' unexpected but certain return holds no fear for the Christian. For them there will be no sudden destruction to fear because they belong to him already. So that's the question we're going to finish on. Do you know and trust in what Jesus has done for you on the cross? Will he break into your world as an enemy, as a thief, or are you prepared to meet him on that final day because you belong to him already? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that your word tells us that Jesus' return is certain. But we don't know when that will be. But we thank you, Father, that it holds no fear for us. Instead, it will be a day of great celebration when the whole world sees Jesus as Lord. And we can look forward to being with you forever. So we pray, Lord, that in the meantime, we would be living with Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, having you in our rightful place in our lives, and sticking with that no matter what the cost. Amen.